From London, BBC Caribbean Report.
Hurricane Irene causes at least 5 deaths in Cuba. CARICOM experts discuss the regional fish kill at their Barbados meeting tomorrow. And Jamaica's foreign affairs minister wants to see changes in the way the UN Security Council conducts its business. I am Keith Stonegraves, and this is BBC Caribbean Report. In Cuba, at least 5 people have been killed, some old buildings damaged, and tobacco and cane fields swamped after Hurricane Irene brushed past the island early this morning. The storm dumped up to 10 inches of rain on the island. There have been power shortages throughout many parts of the capital, Havana, and other cities. Telephone links to Cuba have proven difficult. President Fidel Castro has ordered a major cleanup across the western section of the island. Well, earlier this afternoon, we managed to get through to journalist Pascal Fletcher in Havana. On a less than ideal phone connection, he told me how some of the casualties happened.
Most of them seem to be things like tree falling on one person, some electrocuted by a downed bull, and at least one person drowned in a swollen river.
We understand that there have been some problems with some of those old buildings in Havana. What can you tell us about them?
Well, as far as I know, actually, there's been, you know, probably less collapses than you might expect. I mean, last night people were only talking about a total of about 19 total collapses. Obviously, there's probably several hundred buildings damaged in some way or other, but really, you know, it wasn't a powerful hurricane. It's moved more or less to the west of Havana, but I think, you know, it could much worse. I think there's a sense that it could have been much worse had it been a much more powerful hurricane. It was a pretty low category hurricane which formed very quickly and just whisked across Cuba up north. Some damage to houses, but very much in the sort of stage now.
What have the Cuban authorities been saying, President Castro?
Well, President Castro, as is usual and as has been his style in recent years, has been, if you like, leading the whole coordination effort in terms of evacuation and the relief effort, with frequent appearances on TV, although obviously a lot of people wouldn't have seen it because the power was out. But as usual, he's been leading very much from the front, if you like, and he's been, you know, very active in both supervising all the both the evacuations during the hurricane and then the cleanup afterwards.
What about damage to crops, tobacco and possibly sugarcane?
Rather early to say. I mean, since it moved over the west of the island, there's obviously some fears that tobacco crops might have been affected, particularly young tobacco seedlings. But the reports I'd heard so far from that area suggest that precautions were taken early and maybe the damage wasn't too bad. As usual, when there's the hurricanes and high winds, there is banana plantations, again, particularly in Havana province. Cane fields, again, some cane blown down. But really not as devastating, I think, in terms of damage as hurricanes in the past few years.
Journalist Pascal Fletcher in Havana. Meanwhile, the storm has been bringing torrential rain and high winds to the Florida Keys. The authorities in Florida are warning residents to guard against flooding. From Miami, the BBC's Malcolm Brabant reports.
In Florida, people are comparatively relaxed about Irene, but officials are warning that flooding could be deadly. The state's governor is Jeb Bush.
The major threat from Hurricane Irene continues to be rainfall. We're very concerned about the flooding. There has been lots of rain already dumped on South Florida, and we expect heavy rainfall for the next 24 to 48 hours.
The leading edge of the storm has been lashing the Florida Keys island chain, which is still recovering from last year's Hurricane George. Gusts of more than 160 kilometers an hour have been recorded. Key West, the town on the southernmost island, has suffered considerable flooding as the sea surged over protective barriers and into the streets. 2 tornadoes spawned by the hurricane are also reported to have touched down in the Keys. Meteorologists say there could be more tornadoes as the storm makes its way northwards.
Malcolm Brabant in Miami. Jamaica's Foreign Affairs Minister Seymour Mullings says his country's representation on the United Nations Security Council is due in a big way to the support received from the region. Caribbean and Latin American officials nominated Kingston to fill one of the 5 vacant seats on the 15-nation council. It's the second time Jamaica will be serving on the prestigious body. They served for 1 year in 1979-80. Mr. Mullings told me that Jamaica is aware of its responsibility not only to the region, but to the international community.
Jamaica is cognizant of the need to address the problems relative to the rapidly changing scenario at the international level. We believe that they will probably become more complex with the approach of the new millennium. It will, of course, increase the importance of the Council in its role in the era of multilateral diplomacy, in the business of peacekeeping and the promotion and protection of human rights.
According to Mr. Mullins, Jamaica intends to play an active role in ensuring that the Security Council operates in a more effective manner. But he said that his country will not serve what he said are sometimes defined as narrow national interest.
We think that the world should view our membership in light of the common interest for the maintenance of global peace and security. We will emphasize the importance of an equal voice for small states in the pursuit of the principles and the objectives of the UN. As a representative of the CARICOM community, we will, of course, maintain constant coordination with respect to foreign policy matters with the other members of the Caribbean community.
Jamaica's Foreign Affairs Minister, Seymour Mullings. Meanwhile, the Jamaican government is closing its embassy in Moscow at the end of this month. Foreign Affairs spokesman Wilton Dyer told BBC Caribbean Report that the government is taking steps to handle its consular services in Eastern Europe, especially for Jamaican students in Russia. He said the decision to close the embassy is part of a government review of its overseas representation. A report in the Daily Observer newspaper said the government was spending $500,000 a year to run the embassy, which employs 8 people. You're listening to BBC Caribbean Report. CARICOM officials meet in Barbados tomorrow to discuss the mysterious fish killed in eastern Caribbean waters over the past month. Fish is a major part of the Caribbean diet and provides income for scores of fishermen in the region. The authorities want the problem to be tackled speedily, so they've called in the experts. From Bridgetown, Bertram Niles reports.
Dead reef fish washing up on beaches in Grenada, St. Vincent, Antigua, Tobago and lately Barbados have alarmed fisheries and tourism officials and mystified marine scientists. The cause of the kills has not been confirmed, but a preliminary report by a British marine pathologist has pinpointed bacteria by the name of Streptococcus nai. Dr. Hugh Ferguson of the University of Stirling says the bacteria may have been newly washed in by storm activity and changes in water chemistry facilitated their multiplication at a lethal rate. A Barbadian veterinarian, Stephen St. John, says it's the first time the organism is showing up in saltwater species. Chief Fisheries Officer in Barbados, Dr. Patrick McConney, says it's important to stress that no firm cause has been determined, and Saturday's CARICOM meeting will bring together scientists, coastal and health officials, along with international agencies such as PAHO and the FAO. Their job will be to analyze the available data and come up with an action plan to present to CARICOM heads of government at a scheduled meeting in Port of Spain later this month. Grenada's Prime Minister, Dr. Keith Mitchell, called this week for a regional response to the problem, which has economic implications. In Barbados, Dr. McConney says there is already talk of fish exporters experiencing problems in some markets, while local fish sales have been on the decline, threatening the livelihood of fisher folk. The fish kills have been affecting near shore or reef fish, but popular deep sea fish such as billfish, kingfish, dolphin and flying fish are unaffected, and consumers are being told they can be eaten freely. Bertram Niles in Bridgetown for BBC Caribbean Report.
Meanwhile, in Trinidad, officials at the Institute of Marine Affairs spent the day preparing for the Bridgetown meeting. The people of Tobago have suffered most from the recent fish kill. Fisheries officials have been conducting their own research into why the problem exists on the sister island. They are also trying to find out if there's any link to the beaching of more than 24 whales on Trinidad's Atlantic coast earlier this week. Tony Fraser is our correspondent in Port of Spain.
Over the last 2 months, thousands of dead fish have washed up on the shores of Tobago. The dead fish have been found mainly surrounding the extensive reef formations on the island. At yesterday's meeting, brown contaminated water flowing from the Orinoco River at the northeastern end of Venezuela was one possible reason advanced for the fish kills off Tobago. The Orinoco water flows past Trinidad, which does not have reef formations like Tobago, and impacts on the reef fish there. Another reason advanced at the meeting of marine biologists was that the salinity level of the water off Tobago could be another cause of for the fish dying off. It was also said at the meeting that there has been a rise in the temperature level of the water off Tobago. Among the so-called reef fish that have been affected are parrotfish, Bermuda chub, silk snapper, and grunts. But the biologist maintains that the conclusions are so far inconclusive. One marine biologist who preferred to remain anonymous told Caribbean Report that forensic specialists need to be brought into the investigations. The biologist says a combination of different disciplines would be best suited to the investigation. And on the investigation into what could have caused 26 pilot whales to come ashore on the Atlantic side of Trinidad on Wednesday, a team of local and Puerto Rican vets has also not yet been able to find conclusive reason for the beaching of the whales and the death of 12 of the 26. Tony Fraser in Port of Spain for BBC Caribbean Report.
Nearly 100 public and private sector officials from the Eastern Caribbean and North America have ended their two-day development conference in St. Kitts. Hosted by the Eastern Caribbean Central Bank, delegates looked at a number of fiscal matters, including economic reform and collective responsibility of the international community in a competitive environment. Dr. Wendell Samuel is a senior researcher with the bank. I asked him, how does one measure fiscal transparency in the islands?
If you're looking for an objective measure, then there's no objective measure. The thing is that it's either there or it isn't. Let's take, for example, one aspect of it, the tax system. One of the issues that arises with respect to the tax system is the nature of the tax system that is in place, that more broad-based taxes are probably easier to administer, so increases efficiency, increase and reduces the level of discretion that exists.
The ECCB Governor Dwight Venner, in his address, said that societies as opposed to nations will have to reconstruct the range of relationship in order to maintain their stability. Is this something the islands should take on board, given the extremely dynamic and competitive global environment?
There's no way around this. We have to become internationally competitive, but in doing so, we want to ensure that the benefits are distributed to all of the members of society. In the final analysis, how well we manage the economy is going to depend on the extent to which we have improved the quality of life of citizens of the region.
What's the role of international institutions in helping with the regulation of financial institutions?
It has become more urgent with the Asian crisis. The major point here in terms of setting international standards for financial soundness and also trying to, in the area of surveillance, to ensure that those standards are met.
Dr. Wendell Samuel. In Haiti, gunmen shot and wounded a top police official in an ambush near his home in Port-au-Prince. Radio Metropole said the head of Haiti's judicial police was on his way home last night when shots came from a passing vehicle. The car used by Andre Marisol was struck 5 times, but his driver managed to speed away from the barrage. Mr. Marisol's judicial police force deals with court decisions and protects the law courts. He also directed a wave of drug raids in the last 2 weeks as part of Operation Columbus, a massive 15-nation drug operation. This incident follows the recent killing of the former army colonel Jean Lamy, who had been a close friend of the former leader Jean Bertrand Aristide. And finally, the United States government has conceded that there are instances of torture in the country. Despite strict prohibitions and strenuous precautions against such abuses. This is contained in a report submitted to the United Nations to comply with the UN Convention Against Torture. The report said areas of concern included police abuse, prison overcrowding, and the lack of adequate training for police and prison guards, the beating of Rodney King by 4 Los Angeles officers, and the physical abuse of Haitian immigrant Abner Louima by police in New York were among the incidents cited. Well, before we go, a look at our main story once again. Hurricane Irene causes at least 5 deaths in Cuba. And that's it for BBC Caribbean Report. Join us at 11:05, 11:15 and 12:10 GMT on Monday for our next morning programs. I am Keith Stonegrave, saying goodbye from London.